Hello. Waiting for a couple more people to show before I start. We have several new voices. This fucking thing. This. What is going on down here? All the prefects meeting. McMillan is definitely a Scottish name, right? Like, that has to be a Scottish name. Ralph McMillan. That's Emily Rossum. I've voiced her before. Hello. I'm just looking over the next chapter before I, that, check that. Surely McMillan is a Scottish name, right? This is for POS. Strangers is tomorrow. Gotta do Parvati. Probably fairly normal for both the twins. Assuming this is Emily Rossum. Kitty Bell and Alicia Spinett. I of course know the least about Alicia Spinett and Kitty Bell of the three chasers. Angelina Johnson being far more of a character than either of them. Wonder if it's Spinett or Spinett or Spinet or. Because I was actually thinking that I probably did fuck up the man whose name I was pronouncing is Gawain and Robards. It's probably like Gavin or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. It was pronounced Gavin or something like that in the HBMOR audiobook, and I kind of feel like they wouldn't have pronounced it that way if they didn't have a reason to, you know? And I believe actually that the AIN suffix is an. Yeah, I'll figure it out. Yeah, I'll do the actual research once it gets there. I would have researched everything a bit more thoroughly in the Hogsmeade chapter if I hadn't been doing it very, very quickly. Yeah, I was wondering how, like, if he's at all amused by that. No, yeah, it doesn't sound like he is. I've recalculated Dumbledore. I have chosen to put some of the Michael Gambon into him, because I think he's, I think this Dumbledore is a touch less ethereal. Than most Dumbledores. This Dumbledore is has a habit of being tired of everyone's shit, and I don't think that's isolated to the prologue. Yeah, same, but like whenever I do any Ian McKellen, like, okay, for one thing, my Ian McKellen, I can only really do it well occasionally, and I never and I'm never happy with it when I listen back to it. Like when I do that as Dumbledore, it always just sounds kind of weak to me, and that's more my fault than anything to do with Ian McKellen's voice. I'm just not doing it very well, but I had joked with Moldy Shorts that I should do the first actor for the first two books and then switch it to Michael Gambon. But of course I won't actually do that. Yeah, 'cause it's like the first Dumbledore was 100% completely perfect, and then Michael Gambon was somehow even better. It took us a movie or two to get used to him, but like he was so fucking good as Dumbledore. He had that sort of, I mean, like. And I am only aware of him in Harry Potter and Game of Thrones, where he plays Magister Illyrio. And also, the did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire thing isn't his fucking fault. That's the fucking director's fault. And honestly, it worked better in the scene for him to say it frantically. It's funny to bring it up, but it's not actually a bad call, and it's not Gambon's fault. Whether you think it was the right call, ACI, or not, it wasn't Gambon's decision. That kind of thing never the fuck is. But I am going to start because it's the task is never started, takes longest to finish, or whatever the fuck that quote is from Lord of the Rings. Yeah, good. Yes, this is I'm doing these far too regularly for me to assume anyone will be here for all of them. But yeah. Oh, I'm gonna PM you something while I'm thinking about it. It isn't something I would ask in public, but I keep forgetting to ask you. It's the kind of thing that you are incredibly welcome to say fuck no to, but let me just. Ponder it. It is up to you. And while you are typing, I will begin reading. Am I currently recording? I am, okay. Chapter 7. Meanwhile, in the lion's den. After leaving the Potters standing slack-jawed in front of the headmaster's office, Harry sauntered into the library looking for Hermione, who had invited him earlier to join her study group. Also in attendance were Neville and several other Griffs. Also in attendance were Neville and several other Griffs clustered. Okay, that was actually because my cat distracted me. Please. Thank you very much. You're gonna need to chill out or fuck off. Those are your choices. God. Also in attendance were Neville and several other Griffs, clustered around Hermione like she was royalty. On the way in, Harry crossed paths with Theo, and he asked the boy to join them. Theo just looked back at the table, making eye contact with Hermione as he did. Then he whispered a quick "No," and rushed out of the library. Shaking his head, Harry walked over to Hermione's table and introduced himself to the other Gryffindors. Parvati Patil, Lavender Brown, and Dean Thomas.
I must say, I didn't expect this many people. I thought it was just the three of us. Let's just say Hermione's popularity has skyrocketed in the last few hours.
Said Parvati smugly.
Oh, stop,
said Hermione, blushing madly.
Now that the adrenaline's worn off, I feel quite embarrassed about the whole thing.
Well, don't be, said Neville. You were incredible. That was what Gryffindor bravery is supposed to be about, not acting like a braying ass.
The other Griffs laughed at that, until Madame Pince loudly shushed them all.
What, for calling Jim out in potions? Asked Harry.
Oh, that was just the start. At some point, Harry, I'm going to borrow my grand's pensive just so you can watch the memory, because I'm going to treasure it forever, said Neville. It all happened like this.
Oh, and Ace, yeah, the thing I was talking about with Sinister couldn't be more fucking boring. It's... Yeah. 3 hours earlier. Three hours earlier. After the horrors of the first potions class had ended, The first year Gryffindors returned to their tower with mixed emotions. The first year Gryffindors returned to their tower with mixed emotions. For Jim Potter, the dominant emotion was anger.
Granger! He bellowed as soon as he was through the passageway. Gryffindors are supposed to stick together. What the hell do you mean by calling me a braying ass in front of the whole class? And it's Snivellus's class at that!
Oh, I'm sorry, Potter, she said sweetly. I'm only a humble muggle-born, still in awe of the wonders of the magical world. And when I see a praying arse magically disguised as a Hogwarts student, I can't help pointing it out!
Why, you little... What were you so upset about anyway? It's just past points. No one here cares about that except Little Miss Know-It-All.
Always worried about peeking with Jim. No, that's not Lancashire for no. Neville is just be clenching my throat in a particular way. The intended accents so far, although, well, if I am accidentally doing one, that works, doesn't it? I was planning on, like voicing Augusta like Christopher Eccleston, like, but with an old lady voice attached to it, but, like, I'm trying to make it regional, and that is in Lancashire. You've already said that Longbottom Manor is in Lancashire, so I might lean toward that a little bit. I feel like it's more important to make Neville sound like a British version of Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog, at least at first, than it is to make him sound like he's from any particular place in the UK. But so Tails is the first year Neville Longbottom from of Sonic the Hedgehog. So that might make the reference work. Anyway. All right. Christopher Eccleston's from there, yeah. That's I don't know if he's changing it at all when he's Doctor Who, but yeah, I think it definitely is northern. It's like, you know, why do you say northern then? Lots of planets have a north, you know, like that. But yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. No, and not actually sounding like him, just being like, you know, a little bit of this, you know. But yeah. I don't need to figure her out yet, though. Yeah, algae I'll have to do, but yeah. Anyway. Hermione's eyes flashed dangerously, and she whipped out her wand. Startled, Jim fumbled for his own, but Hermione simply turned and walked... Startled, Jim fumbled for his own, but Hermione simply turned and walked to the stairs leading up to the dorms. There she pointed her wand up each staircase, and, to everyone's astonishment... shot off a series of loud popping fireworks before yelling,
"All prefects to the common room!"
Oh, no.
"All prefects for the common room for an emergency meeting!"
Seconds later, dozens of older lions, including all six prefects, were pouring into the room, where an angry Hermione Granger was standing atop a coffee table surrounded by the rest of the first years, who were staring at her in amazement. She still had her wand out and looked ready for battle. Ralph Macmillan, the seventh-year prefect, was the first to... Ralph Macmillan, the seventh-year prefect, was the first to speak. Oh, God. Oh, fuck me. I was going to think about it.
"What the hell is going on down here? Who called the prefect's meeting?"
No, that's a terrible Scottish. I'm just going to do his voice in the fucking edit. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to crank my head into gear the way I have to do a fucking Scottish. No, I'll try it. God fucking damn it. Am I a fucking voice actor or not? I think he does. Let me look up Ernie. I'm assuming Ralph is an OC older brother of Ernie. Yeah. Ernie Macmillan. If I don't think about it too hard, I can actually do one. Ernie Macmillan. Yeah. Maybe he isn't. Well, whatever.
What the hell is going on down here? Who called a prefect's meeting?
Oh, that actually reminds me. Percy is going to be Rimmer. Because, like, Why not? By year five, he'll be what? Yeah. Okay, for fucking sure.
I did, said Hermione calmly. You lot said if we had any questions, then we should ask a prefect. Well, I have a question, and I want it answered right now. Have you gone completely mental? Exclaimed Ralph before a female prefect, Emily Rossum, put...
Is it Rossum or Rossen, as it says here? It's R-O-S-S-U-M, right? Yeah, I do too. Okay, cool.
Exclaimed Ralph before a female prefect, Emily Rossum put her hand on his arm. Easy, Ralph, let me. Miss Granger, Hermione, you're obviously distraught. You're obviously distraught. Why don't you put your wand away and step down off the table and we can talk about this? Not until I've asked my question. Emily took a deep breath. Okay then, what's your question? The house cup. Is it something Gryffindor House actually cares about? Something that we actually aspire to win? Or is it just a big joke that only know-it-alls worry about? Something we should just laugh over whether some idiot costs us dozens of house points at one go? Because if it's the latter, I promise you I can stop caring about the house cup too. It will be a lot easier to pass my owls if I'm not dragging a ton of dead weight behind me. It will be a lot easier to pass my owls if I'm not dragging a lot of dead weight behind me.
Hermione glared at Jim and Ron at the end, but Percy Weasley missed that and whirled around on his twin brothers instead.
Oh, Merlin's pants! What have you idiots done now?
I love him. I love him so... I love your Percy so much. I mean, right now he's just canon Percy, but, you know.
In unison, the twins put their hands up in a surrender gesture. And now I have to figure out the twins.
Sorry for all the stops and starts, people. This is a lot's getting tossed at me right now. I haven't even made a list of characters for this yet. I might actually figure them out later. I'll just see what I'll throw something at the wall right now, but they're gonna require some actual thought. I'm paused. Who's highlighting me? Oh, that was nothing. Okay. Huh. All right.
Wasn't our so perfect prefect, Percy. We haven't lost any house points yet. Haven't had time to do anything worth memorializing.
Okay, that's decent. I'll take that from the top.
'Twasn't our so perfect prefect, Percy. We haven't lost any house points yet. Haven't had time to do anything worth memorializing. I mean, we did steal a toilet seat, but I don't think anyone's noticed yet. We've noticed, said Katie Bell and Alicia Spinett,
almost in unison and with almost in unison and with obvious displeasure.
I'm gonna toss this out to the chat, and if I'm not gonna wait for an answer, but I'll check it when I'm done with the chapter. I would assume that if there's any canon confirmation of the way Alicia Spinett's name is pronounced, it would be in like Quidditch commentary or something. And if someone just kind of knows it, that'd be great. I'm not gonna go digging for it, but like if someone knows it and can say, then cool. But yeah,
Neville interrupted the discussion. It wasn't the twins, Percy, it was Jim. Oh, thanks a lot, traitor, snapped Jim. Hermione stepped down from the table and walked over to the confused prefects. I don't know how things are going for the upper years, but among the first years, it has taken Neville, Parvati, Lavender, and myself a week to make up for the 20 points Jim cost us on his first morning as a student. Ralph coughed at that. Yes, well, admittedly that was a bad start for Potter, but hopefully it's given him something to think about and won't happen. Jim just lost us 35 points in potions, she said calmly. The room went quiet, and all six prefects stared wide-eyed at the boy who lived, who swallowed hard at a tension that, for once, was not as favorable as he was accustomed to. Then the assembled lions began murmuring their discontent. The twins were incorrigible, but a 35-point loss was what they might post in a week, not a single class. It represented nearly half the points the entire house had earned in the first week of school.
35 points in one class, said Emily weakly. Actually, said Neville tiredly, 35 points in under a minute.
How?
Shrieked another of the prefects.
Did I peek?
Are you saying it's Spinett, not Spinett?
Okay.
Pick up, said Katie Bell and Alicia Spinett.
No,
said Katie Bell and Alicia... said Katie Bell and Alicia Spinett, almost in unison and with obvious displeasure.
That's pickup. That's number Wang. Let's see.
Lavender. Oh, right. Lavender. Lavender spoke up. She'd been very proud of those 2 points that she'd won in charms the day before. The fact that Hermione not only remembered it at all, but considered it just as important as the dozen or so the Muggleborn had won by herself, instantly endeared her to the other girl.
Well, first of all, he mocked Professor Snape for his grooming habits to... Professor Snape for his grooming habits to his face. Then he went on to tear about how his father and Professor Snape hated one another, and so his father basically told him it was okay to be disrespectful to the professor. Then he called Professor Snape Snivellus. Did I forget anything? Well, said Hermione, it was patently obvious that Jim hadn't done the assigned reading, but that seems almost pedestrian after everything else. Of course, joined in Neville, I'm sure he'd have carried on for longer and lost even more points had you not shut him up. He turned to the prefects, for which she won us 5 points back, by the way.
Ralph waved that off and turned to Jim.
Why, in Merlin's name, would you deliberately insult a Hogwarts professor on the first day of class?
Riddle me this, Batman. How did it take Hermione, Parvati, and Lavender, and Neville, or whatever, a week to earn back house points if this has all happened on the first day of class? Okay, shall I say on the first day of his class? Yeah, post is 35. Okay, cool.
Why in Merlin's name, why would you deliberately insult a Hogwarts professor on the first day of his class? Jim stiffened and looked around. He was dismayed and angry that most of the house seemed to be against him. Because I shouldn't have to put up with abuse from someone who's had it out for my family since before I was born. I shouldn't have to be embarrassed with obscure questions no first year would know. Hermione rolled her eyes. Show of hands, please. Are there any other first years who didn't know the answer to at least one of Professor Snape's questions? I knew all three. I knew two, but didn't know the Beezor one. Really, it was highlighted in bold on the sidebar on page 3. Oh, darn it, I always forget to read the sidebars.
Other than Ron, it appeared that all of the first-year Gryffindors knew the answer to at least one of Snape's questions. Finally, Jim snapped.
Shut up, all of you! I shouldn't be treated like this. I shouldn't be treated like this. I'm the boy who lived.
Yes, we know, finished Hermione. Harry was right about you with what he said last Monday. You really do think that the rules don't apply to you?
Jim blinked rapidly. Hermione almost started to feel bad seeing him on the verge of tears. Almost.
I destroyed you-know-who. That should mean something. That should mean something.
Hermione stepped forward to look Jim straight in the eye.
How? She asked simply.
What?
How did you destroy you-know-who? I've read several books about the last war. They all just say you-know-who broke into your house, stunned your parents, and then tried to use the killing curse on you when you somehow vanquished him. How did you do it?
Jim stared at her, his mouth opening and closing like a fish.
You don't know, do you? She continued. You've been internationally famous and universally beloved for something that happened when you were a baby. And you have no idea how it was accomplished. For all anyone knows, it could have been nothing but a magical fluke, but you expect to be treated like royalty for it.
She shook her head and turned towards the stairs to her dorm room, and turned towards the stairs to her dorm room. At the edge, she suddenly whirled back around and smiled.
You know, I just had the funniest notion. Wouldn't it be amusing if, for all this time, it had been Harry who destroyed you-know-who? And the reason your parents sent him to his muggle relatives was to keep him hidden away, while they put you forward and made you famous just to hide the fact that Harry was the real boy who lived.
As she spoke, Jim's face twisted into a mask of rage, and with a vicious snarl, he pulled out his wand. But before he could cast a spell, he was grappled by two older Gryffindors. That didn't stop him from screaming in a rage, though.
Shut up! Shut your filthy mudblood mouth!
There were audible gasps around the room. Neville took an involuntary step towards Jim as if to strike him, but Hermione called his name sharply and he stopped, his fists still clenched. Should she be, like, just totally fucking calm right now? Like, that's the right call for her, right? Yeah, just totally fucking, you fucked up, and I don't even have the social conditioning to know that that's the N-word yet. You know, it's just like, it's, she's just, yeah.
Mudblood Potter? Mudblood Potter? Hermione repeated. I wonder what your mother would say to that. Perhaps we should ask her.
She turned her head, and the rest of the room followed her gaze to the entryway in the far wall, where Professors Potter and McGonagall stood completely aghast at the scene before them.
But, Mum? Jim asked.
Not one word. Come over here, right now.
Lily spoke quietly, but with a frightening intensity. Slowly, Jim walked over to his mother, wiping his nose on the sleeve of his robe as he went. She placed her arm firmly around the boy's shoulders, and guided him out of the common room. After they were gone, McGonagall exhaled slowly before turning to her lions. Fuck me.
I will not deduct any more points for what I have just witnessed. Mr. Potter will, instead, be serving detentions with me for the next week. Miss Granger, as I understand it, this marks the second time today you have stood up to one of the most famous and revered figures in our society and chastised him for his atrocious conduct. That is two times you have done what is right rather than what is easy. Professor Snape has already awarded you 5 points for the first instance, and I will match it for the second.
McGonagall surveyed the room.
I don't know what each of you thinks, but I, for one, wish very much to win the House Cup. It saddens me to think that any of my lions lack sufficient pride in their house to share that wish. But while I cannot make you care, I assure you, I can make life difficult for you. If you undermine others who do. Henceforth, any points deductions from a single individual in excess of 5 points in a day will be accompanied by detention, as well as any points deductions caused by willful defiance of, or disrespect towards a Hogwarts teacher. Am I understood? Am I understood?
The chastened crowd indicated that she was.
Good. Carry on.
That's decent. It's okay. I can probably do it better later. Oh yeah, and she's perfect. And my Scottish accent comes and goes with the fucking tides, it seems. Yeah. I have yet to be happy with a single read of any of her lines yet, but I haven't edited any of those chapters yet either. She doesn't talk that fucking much in this. I might just snag all of her lines and have one of my Scottish friends voice model it for me. She cannot not be Scottish, you know? And I have the fucking network to actually, like, make this real. Anyway. Yeah.
Three hours and ten min- 3 hours and 10 minutes later. Harry stared slack-jawed at Hermione as Neville finished his tale. No wonder Jim had seemed so subdued as he left the headmaster's office.
I hope you won't think it forward of me, Hermione, but will you marry me?
Back off, Potter.
Back off, Potter, said Neville with mock gruffness. I saw her first.
End of chapter 7.
Fuck off, Potter.